A murder investigation is underway in Excursion Inlet, and the preliminary report on a fatal helicopter crash near Skagway was released this week. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. A remote southeast community was the scene of an alleged homicide on Sunday. KHNS's Jillian Rogers has the details.
Juneau's Mark DeSimone is charged with first and second degree murder in the shooting of 34-year-old Dulio Tony Rosales in Excursion Inlet. Rosales is also from Juneau. DeSimone is also charged with manslaughter and criminally negligent homicide. Juneau Assistant District Attorney Amy Page said Tuesday afternoon charging a variety of offenses is not uncommon in a case like this.
The state will charge every theory of an offense that the facts might warrant in order that we can present that to a grand jury for them to make a determination about what specific charges the evidence supports.
According to charging documents, a call went out to troopers from the U.S. Coast Guard around 7:30 Sunday evening, reporting that someone had been shot in the head in Excursion Inlet. Excursion Inlet is a secluded community 40 miles west of Juneau in the Haynesboro, with a year-round population of less than a dozen. When Trooper Ryan Anderson arrived by plane a couple of hours later, he saw six men on the beach in front of a cabin. According to court documents, one man handed him a .41 caliber Magnum revolver and stated that it was likely the weapon used in the shooting. Trooper's spokesperson Tim Despain said that while there was a group in the area on a hunting trip, it is not believed that either man involved in the shooting was part of that hunting group. Trooper Anderson located Rosales lying in a pool of blood under a picnic table with what appeared to be two gunshot wounds to the back of the head. The charging documents went on and said that Rosales appeared to have been sitting on a picnic table removing his boots when he was shot and then rolled onto the ground. The trooper noted that Rosales was wearing an empty holster on his hip. A witness told Anderson he ran into DeSimone shortly after he heard gunshots, and DeSimone told him, quote, "I shot Tony. I shot him. It's my fault," end quote. A preliminary hearing is scheduled for May 27th in Juneau Superior Court. Rosales' next of kin have been notified. An online fundraising page states that Rosales is married with two children. It says that Rosales, originally from Nicaragua, came to Alaska in 2011 and worked at a jewelry store in Juneau. Reporting in Haines, I'm Jillian Rogers.
A preliminary investigation report was released today by the National Transportation Safety Board on the helicopter crash that took the life of a beloved Skagway pilot. The report details the conditions on May 6th when the aircraft went down, though the cause has yet to be determined. KHNS's Jillian Rogers has more.
An outpouring of love and support flooded Skagway and beyond after the loss of Chris Maggio. The 59-year-old was an experienced pilot and cherished community member, and while the cause of the crash that cut his life short is not yet known, the initial report provides some details. It says on May 6th at 6:55 p.m., the Airbus helicopter Maggio was flying collided with snow-covered terrain about 4 miles southeast of Skagway. Maggio was on his way back to Skagway after dropping off one passenger and 12 sled dogs to a dog-mushing tour camp on the Denver Glacier. The report states that marginal visual conditions were reported on the Denver Glacier at the time of the accident and appropriate procedures were in effect. Mike Hodges is the lead investigator in the case. He says the full report will take up to 18 months to complete.
Again, that's preliminary information. We're still going through and looking at all aspects of the man, the machine, the environment.
According to the report, Maggio flew towards the previously used return route to the southwest, but then changed course and flew to the north, where visibility was a little better. At the time of the accident, a weather report from Skagway stated that wind was blowing at 21 miles per hour with gusts up to 32. It reported few clouds at 8,000 feet with a temperature of 53 degrees. When operations on the ground realized Maggio was overdue, a second helicopter was dispatched. It found Maggio's helicopter resting on its left side with the tail boom separated in steep mountainous terrain about 2 miles northeast of the dog camp. The helicopter sustained, quote, substantial damage to the main rotor system, the fuselage, the tail boom, and the tail rotor system. 2 days after the accident on May 8th, investigators from the Transportation Safety Board, the Federal Aviation Administration, and TEMSCO traveled to the scene. The wreckage was recovered and transported to a secure facility for future examination. Hodges says the wreckage from the site is now en route to Juneau for more inspection.
You know, we're very detail-oriented and methodical during the investigations, so we wait for all of our information to come in to move forward.
On Friday, a week after the accident, the community of Skagway held a celebration of life for Maggio. Dozens of people showed up to share stories of a life well-lived. An account is also set up at Wells Fargo to help with costs. Find a link to the NTSB report at khns.org. Reporting in Haines, I'm Jillian Rogers.
Without control of key areas of its port, how can Skagway move forward on vital improvements? That's the question the Borough Assembly and Port Commission discussed at a joint meeting last week. Since voters rejected a tidelands lease between Skagway and White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad last fall, the municipality hasn't made much progress towards its goal of cleaning up and renovating the port. A bigger class of cruise ships is coming to Alaska waters in 2017. $7 million in state funding awarded for port renovations is set to expire in about a year. At Tuesday's meeting, person after person said Skagway is falling behind.
Everybody else is improving their ports, and here we sit.
But I don't want to see us get behind some of the other communities.
The clock on that's running out fast.
That was Mayor Mark Schaefer, Assemblymember Spencer Morgan, and Port Commissioner Paul Reichert. So, how can Skagway clean up legacy contamination in the ore basin and build a floating dock to accommodate breakaway-class cruise ships? It's tricky because White Pass has a lease on much of the tidelands until 2023. Here's Assemblyman Dan Henry.
To do a floating dock at the York Terminal, we need access. We have to go to White Pass for access. To do the cleanup, which we want to do, we all want to do it, we need access.
Skagway leaders were exploring the idea of building a joint ferry cruise ship floating dock with help from the state, but that option is off the table. Henry said the two choices left are to engage with White Pass or wait until the lease expires in 7 years.
There is no alternatives. This isn't split in the atom. This isn't a real complex situation.
Assemblyman Steve Burnham Jr. said the municipality is penholed into renegotiating with the railroad.
It's extremely difficult to have to just say it like that because of how badly the lease failed.
Burnham said before, the assembly failed to explain the lease properly to the public and give people time to absorb it. He said if they're going to do this again, the process has to be more transparent. Mayor Schaefer said he's skeptical they can re-engage with White Pass and other port stakeholders and build a floating dock, all in the one-year deadline the $7 million in state funding hinges on.
I don't think we can get it done, but we certainly aren't going to quit trying.
Port Commissioner Reichert agreed. He said the municipality needs to hire a maritime planner.
I do think we need some outside help. So I don't know why we've been dragging our feet on it, but I'd really like to see this move forward.
That idea is scheduled for discussion at this Thursday's assembly meeting. The agenda includes a draft request for proposals for a maritime planner. The Assembly will also have a larger discussion about what to do next in the quest to make progress at the port. Schaefer said the loss Skagway will suffer if it can't welcome bigger cruise ships in 2017 motivates him to keep trying. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.